I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason. I'm Jason Lee along with Amy Donaldson. This week we are joined by Forrest Good. He's the CEO and founder of Pastimes. It's an app that connects people who are interested in the outdoors. They're building a social platform for people to engage in all things outdoors. And I want to say thank you very much, Forrest, for joining us today.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this entire idea, right? When I heard about it, I thought, well, we could definitely do this. I've spent a ton of time, as Jason knows, exploring the outdoors.
A ton of time.
I'm limping today.
I'm surprised she doesn't have just like a tent outside already.
I barely could find a pair of pants that would cover my swollen knee from falling on Saturday. But I guess I want to start with what your connection to the outdoors is. So where are you from? And sort of what brought you to Utah and this outdoor idea?
So I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I moved out to Utah about 6 years ago. And when I moved out here, I fell in love with the mountains. And so growing up, I didn't have the opportunity to do all the outdoor activities that I do today. Mm-hmm. And I felt like a kid again when I moved out here with how close we are to the mountains. And I really threw myself into it. I got into rock climbing and skiing and mountain biking and just love it.
But I was going to, so you came here for a job?
Yeah. So I moved here 5 years ago because of an acquisition. I had started a company called Hack Hands, and I actually started that in New York with two other co-founders. And we moved to San Francisco, and then we partnered with a Utah-based company called Pluralsight, which actually ended up acquiring us, and that is the reason for why I moved to Utah.
Jason knows something
so
about
for
Pluralsight.
You, well, I mean, I did tech for a little while, so I mean, obviously, Pluralsight's pretty. It's a larger company here. So when you got in, kind of involved with them, did they have the same kind of ideas you had for your app and your platform to kind of create this outdoor connection for people?
So the connection here is that I started a community for software engineers, and that was based out in San Francisco. And what happened is when I moved out here, I was helping Pluralsight build a community for mentors to help their learners get more on demand, a richer format for learning. And so while I was doing that, as I lived here, I got the opportunity to do all of the outdoor activities. And what's funny about that is I actually I came out on a blizzard the first time I came out here. And and Aaron, the CEO of Pluralsight, was telling us how, you know, there's powder days and Pluralsight has this great work culture where people can enjoy the snow whenever people call in sick to get out and enjoy the powder. So I started really falling in love with the outdoors through while living here. And that convinced us, our entire team, to actually move here.
So had you been involved in rock climbing? Had you done some of these activities, but just not to the level?
I started in San Francisco. I started rock climbing indoors. And my first time ever climbing outside was here in Utah.
What was that transition like? I love this story between being in a gym and being outside.
It's so different, and it's scary. And when you're indoors, you have all of the colors that tell you which direction to go. And outdoors, you are just feeling everything on the rock and grabbing onto anything that you can hold yourself onto.
Did you like it right away, or did it take some adjustment?
Yeah, I definitely felt more of the adrenaline, and I think that the focus was certainly more there with outdoors, just a lot more.
Had you
risk
done
and
much
danger.
Rock climbing Had you done much rock climbing? I mean, so you'd never done any outdoor rock climbing then?
So, yeah, no, I did not do any rock climbing, hardly any skiing. I did a little bit of road cycling.
Okay.
So all that, right. In San Francisco.
And so you are working for them when you decide to build this app, or how did
I actually spent a little bit over 4 years working for Pluralsight, and that was in the context of helping them build a community for mentors. And then the transition to Pastimes was when I left, I wanted to do something here. I wanted to start a company, and a good friend of mine named Rod, he and I together had this vision for how there's always people that like the same activities, but as we go through our week, we realize that we didn't spend the time to reach out to these folks. And as you get older, it becomes harder and harder to have those interfaces and touch points. Mm-hmm. So together, we really saw an opportunity to take technology and allow that to, especially mobile technology, to make it easier for people to discover and find others who are interested in the same activities, so that you're not sitting home alone and on the weekend and you have something always to do.
Was that because rock climbing is tough on your own? It's a tough thing to do by yourself?
Well, a lot of these outdoor activities, they require partners, and it's much safer to do them with partners. And so, yeah, for rock climbing specifically, if you don't have someone to belay you on the other side of the rope, you really, you're going to be free soloing, and there's only so many people that can do that.
You have to work your way up to that, right? Like, that's the goal.
Yeah, and Alex Honnold isn't around to help you do that.
Yeah, and what's funny about Alex Honnold is they say that, you know, he didn't have a lot of partners whenever he was younger to go climbing, and that's why he got into free solo climbing.
Hmm, interesting.
But he also, I mean, and I don't want to get too far off on this, because I will talk about him for an hour, by the way. I don't know nothing about rock climbing, but I know about him. And this other kid whose name I'm going to forget in a second, but he did a movie. If you love rock climbing, Free Solo is obviously a great movie. The Dawn Wall
Tommy Caldwell,
yeah.
Tommy Caldwell is, that young man, just he just warms my heart to think of, if you never watch this movie, and I don't want to give it away too much, but there's this point where he is climbing with another gentleman who is having the worst time. And he never left him.
Yeah.
I cry thinking about it, because he could have.
Yep.
But he didn't. That's the kind of thing that this activity, I think, you said, it brings you are there with a partner. You can't, you do this together. You don't do it by yourself. And so I think when you mention this kind of thing, and that you got to go out and do this with a partner, and, you know, always be with somebody, that's one of the things that would make this something that so many people want to do.
Well, I think that's the attraction of some of these non-traditional sports. Like, you know, we know, because Jason and I both play traditional sports, you are on a team or you do it individually, and it's mm-hmm. all set up for you. What I love about running community is you can jump in a different group and have a different experience with the people that you're with. And it is their victory becomes your victory.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And to add on that, one of the things that I fell in love with rock climbing was the community. And a lot of time mm-hmm. I enjoyed just hanging out with making new connections and meeting people and hanging out by the campfire at the crag, more than spending time on the rock, challenging myself, trying to climb it. Mm-hmm. So that was something that I saw. Yeah. Go ahead, Jason.
No, I just said, we're running out of time for this segment. When we come back, I want to ask you a little bit more about how you hope to grow it. And I mean, obviously this is, you're at the kind of beginning stages of this, and there's a lot of people to kind of get involved in it, but how do you make it so that people understand where the platform is and how they begin to use it in a way that makes that community grow? We're speaking today with Forrest Good. He's the CEO and founder of Pastimes. It's an app that's a platform that's developed for all things outdoors, and he is getting it up and going. You're listening to Voices of Reason.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason, Amy Donaldson and Jason Lee. On this episode, we are joined by Forrest Good, CEO and founder of Pastimes. It's a social media platform for all things outdoors and helping people get connected for doing outdoor activities. And Amy?
Yeah, I just wondered, I actually have a lot of questions about this, this idea of social, because it seems I go to the outdoors because I don't want to deal with life anymore. I want to forget that we have technology or that I have responsibilities. Did you have some trepidation or some, did you have to sort of reconcile this idea of being out in the wild? It is safer to have a phone, to have technology. Did you have some conversations about how much people would want to engage with technology if they're engaging in outdoor activities?
Yeah, absolutely. So we started Pastimes right before COVID hit. And what happened with the pandemic was that it was the outdoors, that was the place to do, you know.
It was like the only thing open.
Exactly.
Right?
So there's a lot less, well, people are getting screen time fatigue because of all of the Zoom calls.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting question about technology and really where the technology is used. It's a tool for you to be able to find someone, and then you get outside. And our domain is actually pastimes.io, and we have an Easter egg in that IO because it's really like the app that you use inside to get outside. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be a tool, and we actually don't want to be a social media platform. We want to be a social connection tool that helps you find those other people that are in your local area who enjoy the same activities, that are at the same skill level and are like-minded, for you to have a connection outside together.
Because that's honestly one of the only reasons I still enjoy Facebook, is there are groups that I'm a part of, dog rescue groups, hiking groups, a women's hiking group. We actually had a trip planned that got canceled by COVID. But people can post, like, I'm doing this trip by myself, or does anyone have suggestions? Is that going to have that capability where you can exchange information, or is it simply a matter of like, I'm rock climbing this Saturday at 10 a.m. in Big Cottonwood, does anyone want to come?
Yeah, so Facebook groups, that's the opportunity that we saw, where Facebook groups seem to be the only tool left that people are using Facebook for. And
well, there's still some people using them to argue over stuff.
But yeah, and so we can get into that.
Positive, in a positive way, right?
Yeah. So the positive and negative from my experience. And so Facebook largely is a impression ad platform. So they really do want you to stay engaged in the platform. And we want to be the opposite. We're not really interested in the discourse and the ads, but rather we want to be a really efficient tool. And so what we saw with Facebook groups is not everybody wants to be vulnerable and wants to post, hey, I'm looking for a partner. Does anybody want to get out? There are certainly people that do.
And then check out my page and find out where I live and where I work. And
right. So really that was where Pastimes was born.
Yeah.
By seeing that there needs to be a tool.
Can I ask you one quick question?
Sure, Jason.
So, I mean, and again, I'm not trying to do all those comparisons, but so I feel like Meetup is kind of one of these things where you can try to find common interests with people. But you're trying to grow a community in a different way, it seems.
Right. So Meetup, really, they started, they had a great idea and a great start to create, being a tool that helped local organizers create events. And what happened is Facebook actually came along and offered the same tooling through groups. And they really just took Meetup's lunch. And we're seeing a lot of those Meetup groups that were established, they're moving to Facebook, and now we're seeing people actually want to move away from Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so Meetup is for larger group events, and pastimes is closer to finding more casual outings or partners. And so it has tooling for you to be able to really filter the locals and have individual connections and conversations with the people so that you feel comfortable compared to the larger bulk coordination that, you know, become, or the adverse selection that comes from having a large group and having anybody attend.
So before we get into like specifically how it works, like where you find it and how you get involved in it, as a woman, like these kind of things scare me because that's why I join women's only groups.
Yeah.
Because I do some groups, but I don't post very much and I don't share information. But I wonder, how do you make sure people don't prey on other people? And how much responsibility do you have about the connections people are making?
It's a great question. And so from the beginning, we've done user research to really understand what tools we could build so that women felt comfortable. And it's not women, it's any gender and identity. Mm-hmm. So the first thing, it starts with you coming into the platform and you getting asked, you know, how would you like to represent your gender? And so if you would like not to say, you can do that. You can prefer not to say, or you can say that you're non-binary. And then from there, there's tools to be able to create a private account. So only the connections that you become friends with can actually see the information on your profile. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest tool and the most recent tool that we've created for creating trust and safety on the app is a feature where you can actually indicate that you only want to be discovered or visible to your own gender. And so we had a lot of user input that suggested that women were only interested in connecting with other women, and they're using Facebook groups for women. Mm-hmm. And so that was where that feature was born.
Well, and I can tell you part of that is that you have a different experience in a group that's all women than you do in a co-ed group. It's just like any, I don't know, it's kind of like playing co-ed softball. It's a reason I stopped playing. It's a lesser experience for me. Are there men, like my running buddy and my running group was all men, but they were friends I met through a veterans group. They were not friends I met doing the sport because it seems like any athletic or physical activity, it feels diminished when you're with men who don't know you and don't respect you and don't want you to have the same experience that they're having. And that's just been my experience in the co-ed universe.
Real quickly, I know we only got about a minute and a half to go. So you're saying that because there's this, I guess, the mixed gender thing, it makes it less enjoyable for you?
You're asking me this question?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it does diminish. Yeah. If I join, like I joined a co-ed soccer group at the request of a friend, a colleague here at the paper, and it was a miserable experience. I didn't want to play. I felt like the men didn't have any, they didn't know if I was good and they didn't care. And they didn't want to teach. They didn't want to teach me. They didn't want to help me have a good experience. They were just there to win. And so whoever they could get on the field that helped them win, and that was their goal, or for them to have a good experience. And that's been my experience with co-ed sports experiences. So obviously one of the issues I had when you mentioned the app was how do you not have diminish this situation for women? I know we have to take a break, Jason. Sorry.
No, it's okay. But, I at least now Forrest knows exactly why to make it so that women can have their own setup. We're speaking today with Forrest Good. He's the CEO and founder of Pastimes. It's a social platform for all things outdoors and creating opportunities for connections for people who like outdoor activities. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with him. You're listening to Voices of Reason. Welcome back to the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason. I'm Jason Lee, along with Amy Donaldson. Today we're joined by Forrest Good, CEO and founder of Pastimes. It's a social platform for all things outdoors. And, you know, Forrest, we've been talking about your platform, but I guess, where do you find it? And how do you, if you want to become involved, how do you do that?
So the app is available for download on iOS and Android in the Apple and Google Play Store. And anyone can go and download it today.
So and when you go down and download it, how do you get involved, I guess is what I should be asking.
So once you download the app, you can create an account, and we require you to use a valid phone number. And this is another trust and safety design where we want people to really represent their actual identities. And it's a lot easier for you to create an alternative account that or multiple accounts with an email. So we require a phone number from the beginning, and we require users to verify their identity through a PIN that gets sent once you create an account.
Sorry, I'm making noise because I'm trying to download your app while we're talking. No, I just thought I would see. Are you worried at all about? I mean, obviously this is geared towards younger people, but there are people my age who probably would need it more. Because when you're younger, you make friends easier. You have social circles. The longer you work, it seems like, and the longer you have kids and you have responsibilities, the smaller your friend group gets, and because friends take time and energy and things that you don't have when you're married or a mom or a grandma, and so you might need this more. But is it intuitive enough that someone could walk through it and say, "Oh, okay, I could do this," and can you find people in other places? Like, obviously, I would connect with people here, and you would want to have a community that in the place where you live. But what if I'm traveling? I'm going to Alaska to do something for a couple of weeks. Maybe I want to connect there. Can you find people there? Sorry, that's like 10 questions in one. But
just starting with the first one, you know, when you
can old people use it? That's the question.
So it's not only for younger people, and that was you know, I'm in my mid 30s, and as I graduated college and moved around and had different jobs, I realized that meeting new people is actually quite difficult. And so
especially meeting new people who have the same interests.
Exactly.
You can meet
people.
That's not a problem.
Exactly. So, and the app is really for all ages, and we're finding more people, especially with pickleball. Pickleball is an activity that is on the app that has become really popular. And what's great about pickleball is that it any age can play. And so we have people that are in their 60s playing with people that are in their 20s. Mm-hmm. And then,
how great is that?
Yeah, it's great. And that's our mission. Our mission is really to help more people participate in the outdoors. So we want to remove the barriers for that.
Like you mentioned pickleball, and obviously we talk about like rock climbing, hiking. What are some of the other activities that you hope to have people kind of engage in using your platform?
Yeah, I'll talk about the activities. I want to answer that last question about moving around.
Yeah.
And so... Mm-hmm. We have a feature where you can come into the app and you can change your location. And so if you know you're going to be traveling to New York to do any kind of activities there, you could change your location here in Utah to New York and already start making connections and browsing the events that are going on.
Well, because there's always times where I think I would love to do a hike here, but I just do what's visible, what I can easily see or get to, because if I ask the people I'm associated with, which are usually reporters or coaches, and they don't always hike or know the trails. So I end up trying to run stuff by myself and not get lost so that my mother, you know, doesn't nag me about trying to kill myself in the outdoors.
Yeah. And that goes back to the Facebook platform, because with Facebook, you have to be in a group for each activity in each region.
Yeah.
And so this is decoupling those Facebook groups and really being one app that brings everything together. And then the other thing about the app that is really different and unique is that it allows you to set when you're available. And then the app actually suggests and recommends others to connect with based on your skill level and your availability.
Hmm. Awesome.
Then for the activities, we actually have over 80 activities on the app right now. And so we really focused on, you know, the seasonal activities when we launched back in the fall and the winter. And we had a lot of backcountry skiing. And now as we've transitioned into spring, we're seeing a lot more cycling and hiking. And all of the activities such as pickleball that we mentioned that are self-organized or activities that you would play pickup in the parks, those have also become really popular on the app.
Mm-hmm.
So from pickleball, golf is another one. And actually in Utah, what's been interesting is disc golf has been, you know, an activity that people have, it's in order to find other disc golfers, this is an avenue and an opportunity for people to connect that they may otherwise not have had, because Meetup and Facebook weren't great tools for those communities.
So one of the things I've loved about Facebook, because I have family all over the country, is that it keeps us connected. Like, I liked Marco Polo when it came out because we could send videos back and forth. And you didn't have to be available to take a FaceTime call. You could just send a video to my mom and she could kind of participate a little bit in what I was doing. I love these ways of staying connected. I feel like that's always been a double-edged sword. Are there downsides to using an app to find, or were there downsides you discussed that you wanted to make sure you didn't fall into?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's going back to where our focus is really helping people find new connections. Mm. And so some of those other apps that you've mentioned, they're really about the relationships and maintaining the relationships. We focus with a persona called Adventurous Alex, who, whether they're just moving to a new place or they're looking for new friends and that do those activities. And now what we're seeing is that there's a bigger platform or bigger opportunity for us to connect everything in the outdoors. And now we're looking at other ways and other personas for how we help you do more with your friends that you have. And so that's okay. Where some more tooling is. It could help those connections.
Do you ever think it's so fascinating and sort of ironic that you came up with this idea on the cusp of COVID? I mean, a pandemic?
Yeah. At first, I thought I was maybe crazy. And I was thinking, you know, what am I doing creating? You know, what are we doing as a team creating a social connection app during a pandemic? Mm-hmm. And then what happened is we realized that the cycling industry blew up and you couldn't and still cannot find bikes or bike parts. And we realized that everyone turned back to cycling. And there's a research report that just came out that OIA just released, which talks about how there's been an increase in outdoor recreation, and it's helping with diversity. It's helping with the gender gap because they're seeing a lot more people who were going to concerts and theaters and events turning to the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing that there's a huge opportunity now as there's light at the end of the tunnel with COVID and that more people are getting vaccines, that people need an app to reconnect. And so that's
it took a pandemic to make hiking feel safer than a play.
In a way, that's kind of sad though. I mean, like you say, it's, we had it here all along, but you know, we kind of took it for granted.
Yeah. I should note that I remember this in 2008. I read a study that when we've had great recessions or issues in our government or in our society, people have turned to recreational sports, recreational activities, because it is the way they manage stress and it's the way they find joy. And some people do it all the time, but for some people, it takes. I can't afford to do anything else. Maybe I'll take up hiking or walking. You know what
yep,
I mean?
Like, absolutely. And with COVID, so many Zoom calls, so much screen fatigue, mm-hmm. and so much yeah. mental health. And outdoors have been proven. Outdoor activities mm-hmm. have been proven to improve physical and mental health.
When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Forrest Good. He's the CEO and founder of Pastimes, the social platform for all things outdoors. And I want to kind of follow up on what you were just saying, Forrest. You know, we don't use the outdoors as much as we probably could, because that's where really all the fun is, if you ask me. We'll continue our discussion when we come back. You're listening to Voices of Reason. Welcome back to the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason. Amy Donaldson, Jason Lee, joined today by Forrest Good, founder and CEO of Pastimes, an app that connects all things outdoors. And, you know, as we were leaving the last segment, Forrest mentioned, you know, people getting outside more. You know, when I was young, our parents, my grandmother particularly, I would go visit her, and I had relatives there about my age. She would basically say, leave my house and just be back by the time it's dark. So we were out. That's what we played outside. We rode bikes or we played ball. You know, you just do all of this kind of wandering, to be honest with you. There were little games we could play outside. We didn't have video games. We didn't want to watch television.
No,
we wanted to be outdoors.
You played pickup softball or pickup basketball.
Absolutely.
You know,
everything.
Yeah.
And so what I appreciate about this app is it's trying to get us back into the frame of mind, because COVID made us want to go back outside again rather than be cooped up in our houses and, you know, being on a screen. Because let's be honest, I guess if you're a young kid, you might want to do that all the time. But for me, the moment I could get outside, I was jumping out there as quickly as I could.
Yeah. I mean, it might have seemed crazy at the beginning a year ago, but in 1 year's time, now it seems like maybe the most valuable thing you can give people is a connection. Do you think about that?
Yeah, that's part of it. That's our mission, and that's what inspires us to create this app. And we are seeing that there's an elation in our users when they find a new friend and they have a connection. And that's really the value that we focused on by creating that persona that is called Adventurous Alex. And we had a lot of different ideas at first, and we had to prioritize and simplify the app to really focus on that user. And now we're seeing that value of getting a user to get outside and meet someone new is very rewarding, and having people come back to the app to find more friends is now how we're looking to grow the app.
What do you do when people are like, I'm tired, I do have Zoom fatigue, and I'm tired, I don't want Facebook tracking me, and I don't want 5G in my vaccine, you know, I don't want any of this, so I don't want to be connected in any way. What do you say to those people? Because there's probably some people who are just that kind of tired and grouchy about the last year.
There is certainly some feedback with that profile and that traditional.
Are they trying to use the app and then tell you what's wrong with it?
Sure. You know, we've had some users that have signed up and have given us that feedback. But, you know, there are just people that want to. They want the outdoors to be theirs. They don't want more people participating.
They want it to be wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They like the idea, especially with climbers, they like the ideas of people coming up to someone randomly and asking them for a belay. And so all we're doing is we're helping that process be more efficient.
Well, and I understand that. The problem with the wild being wild when you're a 52-year-old woman is like it makes it more intimidating. Like there's a lot of aspects of the outdoors, kayaking, paddleboarding, that I would do more if I didn't have to try to drum up somebody to do it with me. Does somebody else have a day off? Does somebody else have a board, or do I have to buy two, which I did, so that I could always have a friend with me? But it's, I think there are and some people don't have that money. Maybe they want to go paddleboarding. They don't have a board.
Yeah. And that comes back to our mission. And we are helping more people participate in the outdoors by lowering the barriers. And one of the barriers, and one of the most important barriers, is having a partner to do the activity with, who can mentor you, who has extra gear, who has the equipment, and can help you do the activity safely.
It's interesting. So I'm thinking about this, and because my first reaction to hearing about the app was, it's like a dating, people are going to take it and use it as a dating thing, right? Like not a genuine friendship or a group. Like what I like about the ladies groups I'm in, people are there to hike, they're there to run, they're there to do the activity. But so when you're, can you give someone feedback like, yeah, I met you for rock climbing, but like, I'm good. Like, how do you, I don't know how, because that's the other sort of, I think, off-putting ideas. Am I going to have to like ghost a bunch of people that I don't like anymore or that I didn't get along with, I went with, and maybe they're too competitive. Maybe they're too intense.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say online dating app. We are an app to help people find like-minded partners to do activities. And so what we found is Bumble, a dating app, was actually being used for Bumble BFF. And that was for people to find just platonic relationships. And so that's another trend that tells us, hey, people are looking for friends, not necessarily dating. Certainly, pastimes could lead to dating or romantic relationships, but we're not focused on doing that, and we've intentionally designed.
You're not focused on that, but like, how do people have interest? Like, can they block a person, or can they say like, "I'm good, I don't want to do that activity anymore"? Or
so there's several paths to be able to restrict or block a user. We're actually working on block right now, and it's a sensitive feature, so we're really wanting to do it right. But right now there's tools in place on the app for you to be able to report a user, for you to be able to actually make your profile private, to make yourself only visible to the gender that you want to be visible to, because there are people who are only sending messages to the opposite sex because they're looking for more of a dating or romantic partner. And so going back to your question about the groups, you know, that is kind of the next step. And we started with just partner finding, but we have a really big vision here as a platform to help build those features that would give the value for what you're looking for and what you have on those Facebook groups.
So what's like your big vision for this? What do you think is possible with Pastimes?
The big vision, and this will go back to your question earlier, is to be the LinkedIn for the outdoors. So to actually have that, your profile that represents all of your experience.
I endorse you as a climber.
Exactly. And having the community.
Your belay skills are on point.
having vouching in the app, yeah. Or having endorsements where someone, okay, whenever they go to your profile, they can see either badges or a way that doesn't ostracize the community, but really helps you know that you're a great partner, a great fit for getting out and doing those activities.
And you're not a jerk and you clean up after your dog or whatever.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Well, sure. Right. But you're just a person that is out there for the purpose of enjoying this experience and trying to help others who have the same kind of, likes that you do, enjoy this experience as well. That's great.
Is this what you thought it would be? I mean, do you think it's going to improve people's lives?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a social good project. I think it does help people, going back to the mental and physical health and having new friends. And we know that people are lonely, especially with the COVID pandemic. So to answer your question, you know, we started out trying to be a more efficient tool to connect people, and now we're turning into more of a platform that goes way beyond just connecting people, but it connects people with skills, mentors, and gear. And so really that's the holistic, bigger vision of being a dedicated platform for the outdoors. And we may even expand beyond outdoors, but we really feel like like serving our outdoor community is the best way to grow.
Interesting.
Excellent. Listen, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to using that app myself, actually.
I know.
I need some golf partners. That'd be fun, all of that.
Thanks,
we've
Jason.
Been talking today with Forrest Good. He's the CEO and founder of Pastimes, an app that connects people in doing all things outdoors. Please check it out on iOS and on Android. Join us again for the next episode of the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason. If you have any comments about the show, please contact us via email at vormed@gmail.com or at vorjasonl@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @AdOnSports and at @JasonLee1. Our show's Twitter handle is @VORPodcast. Check out our Facebook page, and you can also find and subscribe to free episodes of our podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or all the other places where you find interesting content. Be sure to review our show as well. We'd love to get your feedback, and it helps us grow our audience. Until next time, I'm Jason Lee. When you engage in passionate debate, do your best to keep your dialogue civil. Try to be the voice of reason. Voices of Reason is a production of the Loudmouth Project.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.